is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there. Yes, indeed. Here is Guy James. You are listening to the one and only Guy James Show, coming to you from the beautiful blue waters and sandy beaches of Southwest Florida. Thanks for joining us today. Good to have all of you along. That's one thing we're sure of today. Glad to have each and every one of you with us today. We hope to have a good show here today. It's going to be kind of a hodgepodge, but let me tell you one thing that we're going to have that I'm sure some of you didn't expect. We're going to have Shirley Phelps Roper on today, the daughter of Fred Phelps of the Westboro Baptist Church. She's the head spokesman for them now. And Shirley is going to be with us today at 3:15, promised that she would be, so we'll see. We have to call her, and we hope to have a lively discussion with her. I know many of you have questions. If you have some, post them on the chat room, and we'll get to them if we can. I have about 133 questions set down here that I could ask. No, not that many, but it should be interesting. And I hope you will all stick with us and call everybody you know and tell them that we're having the infamous Shirley Phelps Roper on the program today. You know, we played an interview with her last week, and we also played the song God Hates the World by the Westboro Baptist Church. So we're gonna quiz her about a few things that we're curious about, I guess. Lots going on. Are you all suffering from Michael Jackson, just a weariness over the whole entire Michael Jackson thing? It went on and on and on for a long time. I was able to see a replay of some, and I watched it. I watched a replay of some of the memorial or whatever you want to call it yesterday afternoon. It was done very respectfully, so I'm glad it's over. I don't think we've seen the end of this by any means. I'm sure we have not, and we'll be hearing about it for months to come. But once again, America went crazy, went overboard, went way overboard for celebrity. We didn't see President Kennedy get a send-off like that, I don't think, for that long. And I see the Republicans are complaining that Ronald Reagan didn't even get a send-off that big that long. I don't know. But I'm glad it's over. And he was a very, very fine artist. There's any question in my mind about that. Didn't know the guy. I'm always of a mind that if you have not been found guilty of something, I'm not going to say you were this or that. If you were acquitted, I'll be lawyer-like in that respect. So God rest his soul. I hope his children are able to do okay. We saw the daughter that was quite distraught yesterday. And, of course, kids that age lose a parent. Why, of course they are. So anyway, I'm hoping that that's over with now and everybody can go on with their lives. 866-546-5254. We're going to I will ask you to hold your calls. We are going to make the call from here, the studio, to Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, right around 3:15. So you've got that ahead of time. Be duly warned. And then we've got the Sarah Palin thing. Oh. Imagine if the people of this nation would have put this woman in as a vice president. Would she have quit? Said, I got to move on. I'm done with this. I mean, she quits everything she starts. Check out our blog. Made a statement on there about Sarah Palin, theguyjamesshow.com/blog. That's theguyjamesshow.com/blog. Go over and visit the blog. We got a couple new posts up there. And see what you think. See if you agree about the Sarah Palin thing. Frankly, I don't know what to think about it. I think the woman is planning on going for more political action later on. I'm pretty sure she will. It's one of those things, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? She got a taste of big-time politics. I think she loved it. I think it's obvious that she loved it. I think she'll be back. I really do. Now, God knows, I wish she wouldn't come back. I wish she'd just go away, stay away, and never, never, never be seen again. I don't know what it is. I remember well, I think the date, because I think she brought it up the other day. She said the day that she was not, was picked, was called by John McCain was August the 29th. If that's the day that he called her and asked her officially or whatever. I was at the airport in Denver getting ready to come home from the Democratic National Convention. And, of course, the McCain campaign was desperate to do something to counter the huge bump that the Obama people had gotten at the convention. And so they used that Friday to announce that Sarah Palin was going to be the vice presidential nominee. And I remember sitting at the Denver airport with some friends of mine, and we all looked at one another. And first of all, some of the folks who don't keep, quite so up on things like we do said, "Who the hell is Sarah Palin?" Now, I knew who she was, and I knew what a joke she was. And I could do nothing but laugh. I was so grateful that they picked her as the vice presidential nominee. I was absolutely elated over it because I knew, I was pretty sure that it would be a death blow to an already foundering campaign. And I figured it would be the final nail in the coffin. I also figured that the fundies would love her, and they do. And they still do. But, oh my God. And I don't know that I've seen anything that makes such a statement about Republicans as a poll I saw today about Sarah Palin. 72% of Republicans would back her for the presidency. 72% think she's qualified or well qualified to be the president of the United States. Now, if I never said another word about the Republican Party, that statement right there, I believe, is all you would need to know, isn't it? That 72% of Republicans think she's qualified or very qualified to be president of the United States. That tells you all you need to know about the tiny, tiny minds of Republicans. Now, if you'd have told me that 72% of the fundies, of the evangelical fundies, would have said, "Yes, we want Sarah for president." Well, I would have understood that, but knowing that the evangelicals are only, what, a third of their base or maybe less? But 72% of the entire party is willing to have Sarah Palin as their nominee for president? Oh, my God. That says to me that the Republican Party, and hey, I'm the first one to say I'm not all that enthralled with the Democrats right now either. Not at all. But I am a Democrat, and I will remain a Democrat. I won't jump parties. I won't do any of that. I'll always try and make the Democratic Party what I believe that it should stand for. That's why I'll stay in the Democratic Party. I'll always be a liberal Democrat. And if they stray from the path, I'll try and get them back on it again. But 72% of Republicans think that woman? I mean, there can be no one that's run for the office in my lifetime, certainly, president or vice president. I mean, even Dan Quayle, for God's sake. Even Dan Quayle. No one less qualified than that woman. So I just had to say something about it. A lot of people, likely or somewhat likely, 72%, very likely or somewhat likely to vote for her if she runs for president. There you go, baby. Enough said about the Republican Party. Wow. And I saw a statement made by someone that I thought, you know, that's the best case, the most concise, perfect case of the pot calling the kettle black that I have ever seen in my life is Oklahoma, and you know who I'm going to say, Oklahoma Senator Inhofe, James Inhofe, R. Oklahoma. He called Al Franken a clown. And I thought, my God, Inhofe? I can see some of the other senators maybe calling Al Franken a clown. And I can see people laughing at that and say, oh, ha, 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 he was on Saturday Night Live, and so he's a clown and all that. But for Senator James Inhofe, idiot from Oklahoma, to make a statement that somebody else is a clown, this man who is by far and away the most clownish of all the senators, in my memory even, can't think of a more clownish figure in the United States Senate than James Inhofe, calling Al Franken a clown. He said he kind of looked like a clown when I was talking to him. Well, I thought that was pretty interesting. I really did. For James Inhofe to call anyone a clown is... that's right out there, believe me. Right out there. Like I said, we've got a real hodgepodge to talk about today. We're going to talk about... It is National Call-In Day, by the way, about health care. You should call and write this down and keep at it, 866-210-3678. 866-210-3678, and talk to your member of Congress and let them know how you feel about a public health care bill. Let them know. Call that number and talk to your member of Congress. 866-210-3678. Let's burn up the phones on that issue. I think what we're going to do is take a real quick break here and be back just as soon as we can when we get our guest on the line. We'll break back in as soon as we get her on the line.
I don't believe it. Don't touch me. Hey, Ray. Hey, Sugar. Tell them who we are.
Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers. And we're loved everywhere we go.
Sounds like us.
We sing about beauty and we sing about truth. At $10,000 a show.
Right.
We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills. But the thrill we never know. It's the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Yeah.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
I got a freaky old lady named a Cocaine Kitty who embroiders on my jeans. I got my poor old gray-haired daddy driving my limousine.
Now it's all designed to blow our minds, but our minds won't really be blown. Not the blow that'll get you when you get stoned.
Wanna see our pictures on the cover? Wanna buy 5 copies for our mother?
Genuine Indian guru is teaching us a better way. We got all the friends that
money can buy, so we never have to be alone. And we keep getting richer, but we can't get our picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
All right, we are back. We've got the phone ringing now for our guest. We hope she's there. Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, but the person you called has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet.
Oh.
Goodbye.
Well, how nice that is. here we go. Let me see if I got the right number. Yeah, I do have the right number. Well, bear with me for a minute. This doesn't make me happy. We'll be right back. Yeah, poor, poor, pitiful me, all right. Damn it. Damn it. Damn it. We've been stood up. Oh, well. I guess it won't be the first time. Yes, the lovely creature that we're trying to get in touch with is not answering her phone. Now it is 2:18 Central Time. Is that not true? Right now? And, let me check the, this irritates me. This really irritates me. 2:15 Central, 3:15 Eastern. And I'm just going to shoot a quick email off here. And send this off with my great appreciation. Well, sorry about that, folks. I'm going to try this one more time here and see where we get with it. I'll call this number 1-785-640. Okay, and dial. We'll see. Now it's not even ringing. I had this confirmed twice, to tell you the truth. Two different times. Boy, I'll tell you, this is embarrassing. Going to dial it one more time. And I was really looking forward to this interview. We'll see. Not looking good, is it?
Hello?
Hello. Is this Shirley?
No, may I ask who's calling?
Yeah, this is Guy James from the Guy James Show. I have an interview with Shirley Phelps-Roper at 3:15 Eastern Time.
Okay. All right. Sure. Would you hold for just one moment?
Yeah.
All right. I'll see if she's available. Thank you.
Yeah, we can hold. What the heck? You're hearing this live. Nothing like live radio.
Where's Mom?
Hmm. Interesting. You're hearing live sound effects here.
The what?
Having a discussion in the background.
Or turn down. Hello.
Hello. Is this Shirley?
Yes.
This is Guy James from the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
We had an interview scheduled for 3:15.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I tried a couple of times and couldn't get through. Welcome.
I'm sorry. I've been on the phone. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you know that phone. We could all do without telephones for a while. Hey,
yeah, I think so.
let's go live here. We have with us right now Shirley Phelps-Roper, representing the herself and the Westboro Baptist Church from Topeka, Kansas. And Shirley, as you know, is a highly controversial figure, as are the folks at the Westboro Baptist Church. They've been protesting and picketing funerals of soldiers for quite a while and other events as well. Shirley, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in all of this.
Well, all my life I have been a member of the Westboro Baptist Church from when I was born. And all my life I have been instructed in the scriptures, and I have read the scriptures, and I have studied the expositors, and that's what we do. You understand, this isn't where you sit and you have someone tell you. We read it. We read the words. And so, by and by, this nation started taking some turns, left and right, and the Lord our God, clearly, since all things come from Him and flow from Him, and we have nothing except what we receive from Him, by and by, He was going to have this ministry. And we went where it went. We didn't start off talking to you about soldiers. We started off 19 years ago. Every single day for 19 years, we've been on these streets all over this nation and in some other countries. And we have had more than 40, I think it's upwards to 45,000 pickets now. Less than 1% of those pickets relate to funerals of any kind. But like yesterday, our people were on the ground where they were having all the Michael Jackson activity going on, and because he's in hell. You understand? That's the important point. The Lord God has made promises to a nation such as this. Michael Jackson was an idol that people worshipped instead of God. Look at what this world did in the wake of the cutting off by He who holds the breath of life. I kill, God says. I make alive. And so this world set about immediately to start making complete jackasses out of themselves. This country, do you know what was happening just before his death?
No.
Well, Iran was the discussion on the lips of everyone. And the big deal was that this nation, this proud, arrogant nation of rebels, was all about saying how good they are because they got Twitter going on and they got ways. By our hand, no glory to God, but by our hand, we're letting those poor rebels in Iran get the word out of their country. All of a sudden, Michael Jackson gets cut off. And nobody gave a... Also, Iran, those people are over there. Hello, hello, is anybody out there? We practically shut down Twitter and every other. Facebook crashed all the sites because everyone is going to be worshiping Michael Jackson's dead carcass. And then, from all over the globe, they got here. Peradventure, they could get their hands on the golden tickets so we can go worship some more. And lie. A lot of lying going on in that place. And then every single channel. That's what this nation has been reduced to. Hey, dude looked like a lady. God gave that man a delusion. He did not give the glory to God. That family served themselves and not God. They have every form of false religious system. And the next thing you know, Michael Jackson has been given a delusion. By the only source that could give him a delusion that he should not be a black man, but instead should be a white woman. And no one ever said, hey, my daughter was going to be out there with that group. My youngest daughter, she's 16, and she said, how would I sum this up? This is so massive. I said, well, I don't know, but there's some simple, straightforward points. The emperor is wearing no clothes. He's naked. No one has ever said Michael Jackson has made himself to look like a white woman. What's up with that? And that whole pedophile thing. They lined up outside that courthouse while that trial was going on and scared those old, that old woman and that old man. They were not about to convict Michael Jackson. Who would hurt them if they did such a thing? They wait till 2 months goes by and then they get on the talk shows and say, of course he was guilty, but blah, blah, blah. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I
this
sure
nation
do.
Is, they are respecters of persons. They have put completely away every standard of God in favor of their own standards instead of turning to the fountain of living waters for all the answers in this life. They have turned to toilets to get their drinking. They drink out of toilets. Nasty, filthy, broken toilets.
Well, that's pretty harsh.
Well, it's pretty true. If it's harsh, if you don't like this, then change it.
I've never seen anybody do that. But that's one of the questions I have for you, Shirley. You've been doing this for 19 years. How much have you changed things, do you think?
A lot. Because you see what we've done. First quietly and then a little bit more noisy. First, running around this country. Here's what we did. If you'd have cracked the Bible, you would know this.
I've cracked it.
We bound this nation to the standards of God. We slipped around day after day, year after year, border to border, corner to quarter, sea to shining sea. And we got these words in front of your face and bound you to these standards. The scripture puts it like this. It's with chains and fetters of iron. And by that act, we brought the thunder. All of this stuff that you have going on, you're in the midst of the fall. If you look at Revelation 18, there are only two events that happen in these last hours. The first one is your fall. And that covers most of that chapter. But the last five verses or so, that's what's coming for you. It's the final, full, complete, abrupt, gruesome, total destruction. It's going to be the land doing exactly what God promised such a nation as this, that the land is going to vomit you out because you have turned aside to all of these abominations, adultery, sodomy, bestiality, incest, and you've taught your children that God is a liar. Those are the five things that are contained in the chapter, and the chapter says,
how have people taught their children that God is a liar? A lot of people go to church every Sunday. I've never heard anybody say that God is a liar.
You say it. Here's how it sounds.
You say it.
You all say it. Here's how it sounds. You ready for this? God says homosexuality is an abomination. You say, that's a lie. It's in fact okay to be gay. You hate monger. You say that homosexuality is bad. You hate monger. God loves everyone. It's okay to be gay. and all kinds of words that follow that up. And then God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The Lord Jesus Christ said, divorce, if you divorce and remarry, you're living in adultery. But you tell your children, and he says no fornication. Oh, and by the way, thou shalt not kill. So you teach your children, oh no, you can change your sex partners and your spouses more often than you change your stinking undergarments. Oh, and if you're not fornicating by the time you're about 14, you're kind of a freak, really. And if you produce a baby in the middle of all that filth, well, then you just feel free to kill it. The millions of dead babies at the altars of the selfish mothers.
Well, you're painting a pretty dark picture
here.
Truly
breathtaking.
That's a pretty dark picture.
You've taught your children that God is a liar. It's really okay to do all those things. And, oh, by the way, God loves everyone, so you just feel free. You can live like the very devil himself.
Let me ask you. You talked about the Word earlier on, and it's not like nobody else has read the Bible.
You just don't obey it.
Well, I mean, you take.
And most haven't read it.
Well, you take John in John, for example, like 3:15 or 3:16. It says, "For."
Oh yikes!
Huh?
And if you're going to pick the most perverted verse in the whole Bible, and
John 3:16 is perverted.
No, you pervert it.
No, no, I didn't pervert it. I'm reading from the King.
What are you going to tell me?
From the King James Version, the word "whosoever." Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. It doesn't say.
But you don't believe.
It doesn't say.
You don't believe in him. You demonstrate that by your words and your deeds. It's only those that believe the word. And you know they believe it because they obey the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right,
forget
who believes and who doesn't. If it says, if you're going to talk literalism here in the Bible, and you do,
yes,
and it says in the Bible, in the King James Version, I'm sure we're talking about here,
yes,
and
what does it say?
It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It doesn't say except for black people, except for gay people, except for Muslims.
No, don't you start trying to break down the demographics like that.
No, demographics. It doesn't say, it doesn't have a parenthesis in it. It doesn't, nothing that says demographic. It says whosoever.
It gives you the two demographics right in the verse. Right there, you just said it.
Whosoever.
You connect John 3:16 and two verses down, John 3:18, and this is the two demographics. Whosoever believeth on me shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's whosoever believeth. You don't believe. Then you go two verses down, and it says, and if you don't believe, you're condemned already. You're as surely going to hell as if you were already there.
It says whosoever believeth in him. And are you punching a straw man? Doesn't it say whosoever?
You're talking about something that doesn't exist in this nation. They don't believe. You don't believe the record that God gave of His Son.
How can you say what someone else believes in their heart?
Your day of grace.
How do you know what I believe?
By your words. How do you know what I believe?
I'm listening
you know
to you.
By my words.
I'm listening to you talk. And it says whosoever, and there's no distinguishing in there at all. Are you saying that? Can you?
Where is the person that believes? Who is that whosoever?
Well, you say you believe.
I'm asking you, who? Why do you keep focusing? Usually, the morons of doomed America come up with, but it says God so loved the world.
Yeah?
Finish the verse. He tells you what world he loves. He loves whosoever believeth on him.
Well, what is there not to...
What are you focusing on whosoever for? Show me the whosoever. You know who believes on him by their words and their deeds. If you believe on Christ, when Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And this is a nation that will not keep the commandments.
He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation.
That's the point.
You are saying
only those people
surely,
that believe.
You are saying
him
that you know who believes and who, you are arguing that you know who you surely knows who believes and who doesn't.
And you know
know who believes and who doesn't, because it's not rocket science. He tells you his standards, and then he says, God is faithful, he's dreadful, he's terrible. All those precede these words. He keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and demonstrate that by keeping his commandments. This, John, 1 John 5 says, this is the love of God, that you keep my commandments, and they're not grievous to you. So if you're bitching and moaning every step of the way and saying, I got to stay married to this woman because that's what the standard of God hates divorce. He does hate divorce. And so I have to stay with her because of my kids. If you're whining and complaining every inch of the way, then clearly his commandments are grievous to you. He says, this is the love of God, that you keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous. But we don't have to go there. This is a nation full of adultery, fornication,
absolutely,
sodomy, idolatry.
Oh, yeah.
You got more idols than you got street corners.
Yes, you're right. And the Bible
so
goes on.
What's all this carrying on at me about whosoever?
Well,
they demonstrate by their idolatry.
I'm just taking the Bible at its word in that case. And
you take the Bible at its word. So it says, whosoever believeth. You don't believe, so you're out.
And it also says, adulterers.
You're not part of the world that he loves, because you're not part of those that believe.
Surely it also says, adulterers shall be put to death. It also says that you shall eat your sons and daughters. It also says that menstruation is unclean.
For Rizzles, they're going to be eating their children.
And women must make.
You're going to have a menu of bitch burgers, Obama fries, and simple slut shakes.
Women must make sin offerings for having menstrual periods.
Dude.
Huh?
Oh, no, you did. Have you ever cracked the Bible and read it?
Oh, yes.
Okay, then why are you pretending?
I'm not pretending. I'm saying you can't look at everything literal in the Bible.
You don't know about Acts 10,
huh?
When the ceremonial law was put away. How dare you sit there and keep talking to me about the ceremonial law when you know doggone well that the moral law was codified or restated in the New Testament and the ceremonial law at Acts 10.
So we can't believe the Old Testament, do we throw that away?
No, jackass. You take the lessons from the ceremonial law and you quit pretending that we're living under the law of Moses, because we're not. You now obey the law, the standard set out in plain terms in the New Testament. It's the same standard, except that you don't literally live under those ceremonial laws.
Well, I thought Moses was to be revered.
Like, for instance, Jude says, on some have compassion making a difference, on others you save with fear, pulling them or snatching them like a firebrand or a faggot from the burning, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh.
Well, surely, if I can interject here, are we just to throw out everything? Surely, can I talk for a minute?
By that flesh.
Surely, let me ask a question. If am I just supposed to throw out everything Moses said and did?
Of course, I just said you're supposed to take every lesson from it, and you're supposed to obey the moral law of it because it was codified in the New Testament.
I mean, a bride who's found not to be a virgin has to be.
And if you're, by the way, going to pretend that you must live under the law of Moses, then you, by God, better obey the law of Moses.
Well, it says Moses said a bride to be found not to be a virgin has to be put to death. Do we do that?
Since you're insisting that that's the standard, is that the way you handled your bride?
What?
What'd you say what for? You're sitting here saying that that's what the Scripture says, and you're...
That is what the Scripture says, Shirley. You're the one who said we had to go with everything and said everything the Bible said literally.
No, you're the one insisting that that's the standard, so my question is that the standard that you live by with your wife?
Is that the standard I live by with my wife?
You're the one that propped it up.
I'm not sure where you're going with that.
Paul said, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you. We're not living under that ceremonial law anymore. We're living under the moral law, and that's all. We're going to take the lessons. So he said, O foolish... Have you ever read the book of Galatians?
Yes.
The whole book.
Yeah, yes.
Paul is about the business of trying to cause those Galatians to stop letting those stiff-necked, hard-hearted Jews get in there and make them think that they still have to live under the ceremonial law of Moses.
Well, those Jews have certainly caused plenty of trouble.
Yes, they have.
I tell you.
But don't worry about them.
Why shouldn't I worry about
them? There's coming a day shortly when the beast Obama, the Antichrist Obama, is going to bring the nations to march against Jerusalem.
What do you
and
think?
It's going to be gruesome.
You think Obama will be able to take them?
The houses will be rifled, saith the prophet, and their women ravaged. And when that time, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, right at that period, God is going to kick your ass.
Surely, who'd want to ravage those women? I've seen some of those women. Nobody'd want to ravage those women. Come
I don't
on.
Know. I don't know. It certainly ain't going to be me. That's all I know.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
because I'm going to be over there helping those good Jews, the 144,000.
Good.
To get the spirit of grace and repentance.
Good Jews.
And have a heart to know their God. God will turn. He puts it like this, Isaiah 66 says, what? A nation born in a day? He's going to bring forth that 140. He says to those Jews at Malachi 3, I am the Lord, I change not. And it is only for that reason that I have not totally destroyed the Jews. Because I'm going to bring forth a remnant. That 144,000 are going to be restored, and it's right on the landscape.
Well, who's this 144,000 you're talking about?
What?
Who's these 144,000 you're talking about?
I just told you that those are the ones that the Lord God said he was going to pour out a spirit of grace and repentance.
Well, I see,
you,
I don't understand that. I need you to teach me
you
that.
You need to get over to the Jews Kill Jesus website and look at those Jews News videos. You clearly are so Bible illiterate. You need to get some education.
Well,
and
compared to you, I am.
I
think compared to you, anybody's Bible illiterate. I mean, certainly.
Well, hon, why? 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 Do any of you give a rat's ass about your never-dying soul?
Well, you know, when
you... Does anyone ever consider that when you quit this life, you spend eternity someplace?
Well, I guess a lot of people when they were kids were reading Donald Duck comic books and you were reading the Bible, I guess is what the answer
for
that is.
Well, you know what? That's your parents bad. But
yeah.
Now you sound like you're a grown-ass man, dog. Time for you to get the Bible and get with it.
Yeah, well, I know. You know, you can't always...
So do it.
Can't always be doing
don't
everything
Don't make
perfect.
An excuse to me, please.
I don't want
to hear your excuses.
I want to ask you about your church.
All right.
You got about 100 membership, right?
No, that's too many.
Too many?
That's too many. There's only 70 souls, about 70 souls that 70. Are there when our church meets.
And most of them are family members.
About 80% or so.
How do you, and you do these marches or these pickets and protests all over. How do you fund that?
That is a very good question, and it is a secret, but I'm going to tell you, okay?
A secret? Okay, I won't tell anybody
else. So listen to me carefully and don't share. Oh, I'm just kidding. You can share. Here it is. You ready?
Yeah.
We work. We pay our own way. We ask for nothing from anyone because this word of God is free. We take nothing from anyone.
Well, how do you afford to fly to Washington and protest?
I just told you. We work.
Yeah, but how do you work when you're flying to Washington? I mean, how do you do that?
Did you ever hear of a weekend or a day off?
Well.
Did you understand that some people have flex schedules?
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord our God has made a way for us. We are determined to be very jealous, zealous. Over this ministry that our God has given us.
Well, I don't think anybody doubts that.
When we hear the trumpet sound, pursuant to the instructions of our Father, when you heard that trumpet sounding all over the stinking world, Michael Jackson's dead, time to worship him. You know what we did? We have so fast. You look on our website, you're going to find some music videos where we have taken his music and we have parodied that music and done our own music videos.
Oh,
we
that...
did it. We were working on some on the Beatles, which, of course, interestingly, he owned the rights to. And so he had his Jew lawyers that wrote us saying, you can't, like we rewrote We Are the World to God Hates the World.
Yeah, I heard that one.
Video.
I heard that one. That's
huh?
That one's a dandy. We Hate the World.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And it's all free. Just get over there and listen to
I
it.
I especially like the little the little baby at the end singing it. I thought
yeah,
that was...
Yeah, she's a little sweetheart.
Was that your granddaughter?
And it cracks me up listening to This Nation just carry on. Oh, my God, they've taught that child to sing those songs. I'm sitting here looking at a bunch of hypocritical freaks that will teach their children that God is a big, fat-ass Santa Claus. You know, priests rape children. Don't give your kids to that red fright. Just like the priest, he'll rape them at night, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So I'm saying they'll teach their kids to sing Christmas songs and every other pagan, false religious, false idolatrous thing. Or have them up like that little girl that was killed out there in Colorado. You know, the one that they looked for to this day have
can't
not been able
name.
To figure out who killed. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
I can't think of her name either. No.
Yeah, but anyway, they'll have her up there dancing like a hooker. Dressing her up like some grown-ass woman.
Terrible.
Putting makeup and crap all over her. And then they're all shocked this little girl's dead. And we can't figure out who killed her. But if we teach our children some words that praise God and speak to his truth, oh, my God, we better call SRS up in here. We better get Child Protective Services.
Well, I have a question for you. You are an attorney, are you not?
Yes, I am.
And several people in your family are attorneys.
I have 12 siblings, and 11 of us are lawyers. And my dad pioneered civil rights.
Your dad's been, your father was disbarred. Is that not correct?
Did you just hear what I said?
Yeah.
I said my dad pioneered civil rights in the state of Kansas. He had one-third of the federal docket for many, many years, and we went to law school and we helped him. And it got to where we had our annual disbarment rights of spring. Every year they tried to turn us aside from being effective litigants for black people in this country, in this state, by throwing us over into the disciplinary machinery until finally the day came that the state of Kansas disbarred him on some bogus crap. And you know how you know it's bogus crap?
Yeah, what kind of bogus crap
did
they
use? Because a thing happened in American jurisprudence that has never happened ever until then, and it's never happened since then. The federal court system said, oh, no, this is such bogus crap. We're not going to disbar it. And so he continued, because, of course, that's where we fought civil rights cases, was in the federal court. That's where your federal laws that protect black people, women, minorities, legitimate minorities, is found is in the federal court system. So my dad retired from doing that job after the state of Kansas disbarred him. The federal court let him continue to practice. And again, I say, that's never happened. It is by rote. And if you get disbarred in the state court, you're disbarred in the federal court.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
So, you have something else you wanted to discuss about that?
Well, this nation rolls.
They're going to do some things to you, so then they can talk about what they did to you, because you won't bow down and go along to get along.
Well, you're pretty hip. You use the terms, that's how this country rolls. I don't even use that. The kids are using it. You're staying up with stuff.
What?
You use the term, that's how this country rolls. That's a kind of a hip term. I don't even use
that.
And
I got 11 children. They're the ones that are around me talking.
11?
I'm talking to this nation. That's how they talk. So why shouldn't I talk like they talk?
So are the kids...
We need to talk to you where you live so you understand us.
Well, it's just too hip for me. I haven't done that yet. I haven't.
Put it this way. I got children from 7 years old to 29 years old. And I got 3-4 grandchildren, and I just have to talk. I have to make sure I'm talking to them so that they understand me.
So are they all 11 of them, do they all follow you in what you're doing, all 11 of them?
No. My number two son, by under cover of darkness, slipped away, and that was the last of him.
Slipped away?
You understand, if you don't have it in your heart, if you do not have a heart to know your God, this is just so much blah, blah, blah. It's kind of like you.
Not like me. I wouldn't slip away in the middle of the night. Sounds like you got a nice family. what do you mean? He just left in the middle of the night? He didn't want to do this?
Well, of course he said, this is just too hard. He left a note. This is too hard. This nation hates us. I mean, the BBC is published a documentary that's gone all over the world, the most hated family in America. And it's the God's truth, but of course that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. is that you'll be hated by of all men for my name's sake, and especially as these last days approach.
Well,
and so, I mean, the words are as plain as the nose on your face. You got to read Matthew 24. He's speaking of these last hours of the last days of all, and that's where he tells us straight up. And they're going to do this to you and that to you. And Luke 21 is the parallel passage. Read that. And in Luke 21, it's awesome. It says they're going to do all kinds of things to you. They'll sue you. They'll arrest you. They're going to beat you up. They're going to do this and that. But all of it is going to turn for a testimony for you. And that's what we find to be the absolute gospel. The next day, after they arrested me against all their laws, because my 10-year-old son was standing on a doomed American flag.
No.
I say the next
you're kidding,
day.
You're kidding me.
That sucker had circled the globe. You understand? It was published in China and every part in between there and here.
They arrested you for
and
that?
And that court, that judge, what?
They arrested you for that?
Yes. I don't know where you've been. That was 2 full years ago.
Well, I don't know everything you've ever done, Shirley. I mean, I know.
Well,
honey,
I mean, it's just been talked about every single time they touch that case. It circles the globe again. The judge, the federal judge, I mean, the judge in the case said, well, it is unconstitutional, but I'm just a lowly judge. I don't know if I can do anything about this.
Well, my kid stepped on a flag one
time.
I didn't get arrested.
No, but I did. And it is a token. It's a little token in my little token bank of my Father's love.
Wow.
Because, you see, Paul said, it's been given you on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his name. Those are the tokens of his love. It says you're going to suffer if you're going to be obedient. And what else do we want but to be obedient? I mean the violence. That is, those that are aggressively getting after it will take this kingdom by force. We are going to hold on. The Lord Jesus Christ warns again and again, hold on to that which you have, that no man take your crown, that no man take it away, that you not be found naked and ashamed. Do you understand?
Well,
these are all warnings, stark warnings about these last hours of the last days.
I've been naked, and I've been fairly ashamed of it. I mean, I have, but, you know, that's another...
That's the reason for the metaphor.
Yeah. Oh, man.
If you're busy, drawn back, if you put your hand to serve God, like many, 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 many people in this country, and then the heat turns up, and so you run, tail, and hide, God says, my soul says, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition,
well,
because my soul has no pleasure in them that draw back.
Well, surely
we are as them that believe to the saving of the soul.
We have to ask, you know, you mentioned earlier on that every action is at the hand of God. So
yeah.
God's behind every action that takes. We humans don't have to take responsibility.
None, no exception.
Okay, let me ask you. Let me give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about, and I'll get your response
to
it. It seems unlikely to a lot of people, myself included, that God's hand was on Jeffrey Dahmer's hand when he caught and raped and mutilated people, and cut them up and ate their body parts. It seems unlikely.
Yes, that was during my early childbearing years, so I'd be up in the night and watching CNN and watching that hoary, gory scene over and over.
But it seems unlikely to me that God would have been urging him to do that.
You're so funny.
What do you
mean? God sent that monster to punish this nation of rebels.
He did?
He sent you right where you live, where you let your children run around on the streets unsupervised, without hope, without God. They never got any instruction. And then you're surprised. Nothing worse than watching a bunch of stupid parents standing around running there, I'm so upset, giving their stinking statements, victim impact statements, gag. They're responsible. They did it to that child.
Well, how about
you teach them? You do your Deuteronomy 6 duty to your children. Teach them every day, in every way, with everything that you do and say, what the Lord their God requires of them, and you won't look up and have a dead child.
Well, surely not everybody's perfect.
Battle.
Not everybody's perfect here. I mean, you said you lost.
Oh, get off of that.
You lost one.
We're not anywhere near perfect.
I know, but
we're not even close to acceptable.
You lost one of yours. One of yours didn't follow you what you wanted him to do.
What?
One of your very own didn't follow what you wanted him to do. So
yes, because I don't own salvation.
So,
but you think that changes anything? He'll go to hell with the rest of the rebels.
Your own kid?
Do you think God is a respecter of persons? No, he's not, and I'm not. That child knew the day that he left, no matter what he says afterwards. Hebrews, early in Hebrews, around 4 or 5, it says it is impossible, once they've tasted of these heavenly gifts, if they should fall away, that you can restore them again, because they have laid the Son of God to an open shame. They've crucified him afresh and laid him to an open shame. So I'm not looking for anything good for that child. Nothing.
Wow. You mentioned God's, you know, coming for us, and he's going to exact his wrath and his honest.
Oh, yeah.
Who's he going to start with?
It's going to be projectile rebels.
Is he going to start with the Jews and the blacks? And who will he start with?
Why do you keep trying to draw the blacks into this discussion?
Well,
God never said it was an abomination to be black. What's wrong with you?
Well, you know that Michael
There's
Jackson.
There's no discipline in your conversation.
No, that Michael Jackson didn't want the Jews and the blacks.
Are you a Jew?
Well, I might be. I might not. You don't know.
Yeah. What you're trying to do by this deceitful question is to suggest that we're somehow racist or anti-Semitic because we tell you straight up that your duty is to obey your God, and it doesn't matter what your other demographics are. If you don't obey your God, you fall into one of two that matters. You are either of that monster called false religious systems that's got many, many heads. It's got the Christ-rejecting Jew. It's got the Amish hypocrites, the phony hypocrites, self-righteous Amish. It's got the Buddhists, the Hindus, the priest-raped children Catholics. You know, go on and on. List them all.
How about the Methodists?
Understand?
How about
phony,
the Methodists?
Hypocritical Southern Baptists. You're either of that monster that's all headed, God hates them all, and they're all headed straight to hell, or you're of that little remnant. The little remnant, it's called, that are obedient, that will serve God in truth.
Okay.
You're either a Jacob or you're an Esau. And if you're a Jew, you better know about Jacob and Esau.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, this one little tidbit you're talking about here. Of course, you're including the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, in that.
I'm not including the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas, in that. You understand? There have been rebels in this church that are gone. We are going to live by the standards that we stand on these streets. We had better not be standing on these streets and saying there's a standard that you better live by, and then let someone be a member in good standing of our church? No. We kick them out.
Oh.
We send them packing. We warn them. We try every way to convince them from the scriptures that this is the way they're supposed to behave on every rational level, but we make it crystal clear to them. You're either going to be obedient or there's the door. Have a nice day.
How do you police that?
Look, dude, we're out here on these streets. How do you police it?
I mean the people in your church that don't...
Here, let me tell you how you police it out of the Old Testament. It says, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. And later it says, and the more so, as they saw the day approaching. You can't have a ministry like this, where we are on these streets every single day without seeing and talking to each other a lot. And now with texting, email, cell phones, we are continually, you're continually able to communicate. You see people's countenances. You hear their words. You understand? It's
not
hard.
Oh, sure. I understand.
You have, by reason of youth, had your senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
I understand that.
When you've got a guy who suddenly, or a woman, or anyone, who suddenly starts having strange words coming out of their mouth and other things, look, they're not going to get to hang around in here and hide with some manner of life that they have no business engaged in.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you've got somebody in your church all of a sudden the rest of the congregation decides, you know, hey, we found out this guy had he drinks whiskey on the side or something like that, and he's not worthy.
That's funny. Not worthy. Ah, not worthy.
Well, I mean, you know.
Dude, we're the fruit inspectors.
The fruit.
John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit.
Yeah.
That's evidence. Appropriate to demonstrate repentance.
Okay, so you find out
you
got a guy that's a drunk in your congregation.
You cannot frame to pronounce shibboleth.
How do you
interesting was the word of the day yesterday on dictionary.com. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, well,
do you know shibboleth?
How do you go to this person and get rid of them then? You have a church council or something?
Well, first, it's real simple. Matthew 18 sets out the format, the way you should do it. But if you see a problem with a person by something they do or they say, and it usually isn't just a thing, it's a series of things, where all of a sudden everyone is talking, what's going on with this person? What's going on? What's going on? You understand?
Yeah.
You're standing around talking, and you're talking to each other, and you're talking about the things of God, because that's what's important to you. And then you see this little soul, well, you say, well, if they have done this thing, whatever, talk to them. Talk to them.
Well, what if he lies to you?
You understand?
Yeah, what if he lies to you?
Oh, yikes. This is not. What, you think we're a court of law?
No, we should. Well, you're a bunch of lawyers there.
Yeah. Yes, but we're not.
And lawyers usually
like
know
this goddamn rotten judicial center system. What we do is we go and we talk to them. There is, look, if one person goes and talks and they do not either make it right if they did something to the person, if you don't make it right, or if they've got some cause to be concerned, you are doing or you're saying or whatever, then they don't hear you. Then you take one or two other people with you, or four or five, or whatever it is, whatever, whoever, however it falls out. And they go and talk, and they don't hear you. This isn't about going and them lying. By the time you actually have something to discuss, matters are established. There isn't any question. It's like in 1 Corinthians, where they said it's commonly reported that this sucker's having sex with his stepmother. And you suckers are all puffed up in your own arrogance, not knowing that this guy could be killed by God. He's not going to have this kind of adultery going on Ooh. Right under his nose in his church that's supposed to be called by his name.
Ooh.
He'll kill that guy if you don't deal with him.
Did somebody actually do that?
Do what?
Have sex with their stepmother?
Well, if you've ever read 1 Corinthians, you would see that that's what it says that he did do. But in 2 Corinthians, they took that guy back because he repented. And if you have godly sorrow that worketh repentance, then you have every right to get back into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Boy, I don't know. If I'm the dad, I don't know if I forgive that one.
You don't get to forgive. It's not about you, dummy. This isn't you. You're not the sovereign. It's God's standard.
Well, yeah.
And if that guy repents, you by God better forgive him, or you're in trouble.
All right. So let me set the scene here. I live in a house. Well, first of all, how could it be a stepmother without being an adulteress?
Well, it could be a stepmother if the first wife died.
Died. Okay, that's the only way, right? I mean,
Exactly.
So if you married a divorced woman, that's adultery right out of the gate, or if you're adult.
Exactly. She's not your wife,
all right.
Lord Jesus Christ said to that woman. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, that's right, and that guy you're living with now is not your husband,
all right.
And neither was that other series of them.
So the guy dies, or the wife dies, and the guy marries another woman. And he's got like a, you know, horny 16-year-old kid in the house, and he has sex with
whatever
with the wife.
Whatever. Save your.
You mean I'm the husband?
Adjective.
You mean
this
I'm the husband? I'm the husband, and I gotta forgive that?
Well, first of all, what the hell's wrong with you? How could your child be having sex with your wife and you don't know about it?
Well, I could be at work.
Secondly, what are you doing that's got that wife over there screwing your son?
Or not doing, I don't know.
Let me tell you something. He's the head of that house. If that house falls to shambles, it's at his hand.
Yeah, but you know how 16-year-old kids are.
I know that he's the head of that house, so shut up about the 16-year-old kid. He's his kid. How could that 16-year-old kid not know that that is wrong?
Well, I just know kids do things wrong once in a while.
No, you didn't teach them. That's why they did it.
Oh.
You didn't teach them. Either that or they're just rebels, and in which case, forget the 16-year-old. This wasn't a 16-year-old in 1 Corinthians. That was a grown-ass man.
Oh.
That man kicked his ass out. And it doesn't say he was living in the house with him. Oh. What I'm saying is there was plenty of mischief going around. You got three guilty dogs. What that verse does not say, or that passage does not say, is that the stepmother or the father are members of that church. It says it's commonly reported among you, talking about that church, that this man's having sex with his stepmother.
Mm.
Now, I don't know all those details because we don't get any information about that father and that stepmother, but I know that God is true and every man is a liar. And if that man, that father, was dealing properly with his house, then he wouldn't have his wife having sex with his son.
Well,
there's plenty of guilt dripping off that situation. But what I also know is that 2 Corinthians says, lest he be overly sorrowful, lest you give him overmuch sorrow. He's repented. Lest you be found to have done wrong, you better bring him back into your membership because he's done what he's supposed to do.
Well, okay. I mean, that'd be a tough one. That'd be a tough one right
now.
Too
bad. Too
bad. I know.
If you're the dad, too bad, so sad. It's your bad.
Well, we've talked a lot about my sins and everybody else's sins. Actually,
we haven't talked about your sins, and we don't want to talk about your sins.
You don't want to hear them?
No, hell no. I'm not your freaking priest, first. And second, the only person you're supposed to be confessing your sins to is the person you committed them against and to the Lord your God.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to stop it.
Okay. What have you sound like you don't have any sin. Do you have sin?
You know what? I just told you the answer to this discussion.
Well, I mean, I said that I've sinned. Have you sinned?
Let's see now. What did John say? John said, if I tell you that I don't lie or that I don't sin, then I'm a big fat liar.
Oh.
So we'll call that good right there.
Okay, well, I was just gonna, tell you a few of my sins if you tell me a few years.
No, hon, I'm not interested in your sins.
Well, I'll bet you are.
I'm interested in you understanding that these standards of God are non-negotiable.
I'll bet you some of my sins would interest you.
Or you're gonna go to hell. That's all.
No, I bet you if I told you some of my sins, you'd be interested.
I'm not interested.
You would in some of these, believe me. Okay.
Hey, dude, you're wasting my time. This has gone on long enough.
Well, I just wanted to,
All right, hon.
I didn't want you to think that I, felt like I was not a sinner.
Yeah, don't worry. I don't think anything is a
sinner. So what's your next gig? Where's your next...
Tomorrow, I'm heading off to Tennessee because you know who's getting a big old fat memorial service. And I got a
lot
of things.
Oh, no. Now, you're not going to McNabb's funeral, are you?
Of course I am.
Why?
And then the Tennessee Titans. Why? He's got a wife and children, and he's over there messing with that girl?
Does he have a wife and children? I didn't know that.
Oh, yikes. Do you know that Saturday they're having another ceremony for him in Biloxi, Mississippi, where his wife and his children are?
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Oh,
well,
man.
They are.
I don't know
how you can be in the news news industry and not know the news that's going on all around you.
Well, I just figured his girlfriend killed him and then killed herself is what I figured.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
I don't obsess on those stories.
You know, when you're busy committing adultery against the wife of your covenant,
oh, man.
God might cut you off. He just might.
Wait.
But you had to know that when a guy is 37 years old, now we get a letter from the Tennessee Titans saying, come on, don't come here and pick at this. To which I say, all the more reason why we need to be there.
Well, how low?
So that's where I'm going tomorrow.
How close will they let you get there?
And then, of course, we have the Michael Jackson round two in Gary, Indiana on Friday. And then it's back to Washington, D.C. and Chicago and Baltimore and just,
I don't know how you keep up with it.
We work. We work till the Lord our God.
And you're able to keep your sessions with your therapist and everything in between times?
Yikes. God is the only one who discerns the hearts of men. He's the searcher of hearts. He's the trier of reins. Forget all that therapy crap. If you go to a therapist, you're probably going to end up worse off than your therapist, and your therapist is probably going to be the one that commits suicide before you.
Oh. Well, I guess you don't have much respect for that profession.
I have zero respect for that profession.
Wow.
That's not a profession. That's called voodoo witchcraft.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't have much respect for your profession.
Well, hon, you mean they don't have any respect for God or his
family. No, for lawyers. You know how that goes. You've heard all the jokes.
Yeah, and I don't have any respect for lawyers either.
Oh.
They're a bunch of blood-sucking thugs.
Okay. Well,
the only reason they go to law school is so that they can try to
except for your family.
They want to make a bundle. They're hoping for riches, great riches and power. Oh, yes.
Except for your family.
The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Woe unto you lawyers. You take away the key of knowledge. You've got the key of knowledge, and not only will you not enter in, but you're going to hinder anyone that would."
Well, how come all your family went to be lawyers then?
To help pioneer civil rights.
No blood-sucking thugs in there anywhere?
Hell no.
Wow.
We're not the least bit interested in being rich.
Okay.
What we're interested in doing is having enough money to do this job, and the Lord our God makes the way for that to happen.
Does it take a lot? A lot of money?
No, we know how to travel fast, light, and cheap.
I mean, for example, when you go to Memphis tomorrow, do you drive from Topeka?
No, heck no. That's too far. I also have to be sure I'm taking care of my kids, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
true. I got all these kids. I have to get out and get back. So
yeah.
Within about 14 hours, I'll get out and I'll go do 7 glorious pickets. They're called Love Fest.
Love Fest.
Some street preaching. And then I'll be home by nightfall.
Hey, I saw the signs there at 1. You had on those shorts and, you know, you had the big colorful signs carrying everything. You looked pretty sharp in that picture. Yeah. You know, I was reading about appropriate clothing and everything, and I thought, you know, look at Shirley in that outfit. That's pretty, you know, a little bit racy there.
Because we're out there in the heat. But although tomorrow, since I'm going to be at 5 Jewish places, since we're looking for those good figs now, it's Jeremiah 24, in case you're keeping notes.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 24, and then at Jeremiah 29, God says, "And I'm the one who made you to be evil figs because you're a bunch of disobedient rebels."
Yeah.
And so anyway, we're looking for the good figs, 144,000 good figs. And you got
how many of them do you think you found so far?
I don't think we found any. I think so far we've only seen naughty figs. That cracks me up, that way he words that.
Oh.
But it's a good word, and I like it. It's a Bible word.
Okay, naughty figs.
Yep, they're naughty figs. He says, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" He says, "I see 2 baskets of figs, and one is so naughty and evil that you can't even eat them."
Oh, naughty
figs. And
that's
all we found so far.
So far. Well,
you better get a move on. Jesus' website and look at the music video called "Hey Jews" to "Hey Jude." You'll just love that. You just got to look at it.
What's the website?
It's called JewsKillJesus.com. They're going to have to repent for that, or they're going to have to just go to hell. And do that quietly, please.
Jesus.com. Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's a good one right there. As the guy says, I don't care who you are. That's funny. All right. Well, Shirley, thanks for being on the program today.
Yeah, and don't forget to go to that website.
You bet I will.
And GodHatesMags.com and SignMovies.com.
Yeah.
Movies. That's where you'll find
all that
explanation for those signs.
Can we buy T-shirts or anything?
Hell no. You get your own made. I told you we don't ask for anything or take anything.
Oh.
You can just go to a T-shirt shop, and we're about ready to get our new shirts that say JewsKillJesus.com.
That'll make you real popular in some places.
Well, so far. I'm telling you, it's a creepy thing looking into the face of these Jews. It's really, really creepy.
I'll tell you what.
They're so cursed.
I'd like to have pictures of you walking through Jerusalem or Tel Aviv with one of those shirts on.
Oh, yeah, Tel Aviv. That's where all the fags hang out. You just have absolutely turned that nation over to the fags, and you think that's going to go well with you?
Jewish fags?
Yikes. Jew fags. That's Tel Aviv. It's called the gay capital of
Israel. Is that right? I didn't know that. I didn't know there was, I mean, is that something, is a lot of, is Israel infested with you, with the fags?
Dude, don't you keep up with anything.
No, I don't know. I don't know about this gay stuff and all that.
How could that be?
I mind my own business and you know, talk about the
news.
Well,
what do you have to talk about on this show?
Well, we talk about politics, but how would I know that a bunch of fags are in
my God, we just barely started looking at this thing, and we found more pockets. What we realized is that the Jews are the ones who taught so much of this rebellion that we've seen out of these stupid Gentiles. They learned it from the Jews.
You're kidding me.
And, hello, a lot of these fags that we've been dealing with all these years were Jews.
No.
It's awesome.
Well, how about in Columbus, Ohio? You know where, like, German Village down there?
Nope.
Oh, you better check that out.
Well, we have been to Cincinnati where they were putting a Jew rabbi, a black woman, as a Jew rabbi. You know, God hates women preachers, so anyway.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You're twisting my head now. A black woman who's a Jew rabbi.
Yeah, she's the first. She was the first, and so, well, it was perfect timing, so we just got over there to Cincinnati and picketed that thing.
No, you're kidding me. I didn't know that. I never heard of such a thing. Oh, man.
Yeah, well, that's because you're not looking, hon.
Well, I got to look a little harder.
Here the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, watch in all things.
Well, that's gonna get me be in my head for a long time. Watch. I'll be looking. You know, I was thinking about. I just can't get over that about Tel Aviv. I had no idea.
They had a story. They recently had their centennial. And, of course, it was all fag all the time. And then they had a big old picture, and it was gaggable. It was they had five symbolic marriages, gay marriages. And so they had a couple of these fags and a couple of these dykes, and it was like gag me with the whole.
Oh, dykes too? You know, I got to tell you, I don't know how you tell, but I knew this guy for a long time. This just happened to me recently. I knew this guy for a long time, and believe me, you might think I'm really stupid, but I had no idea this guy was gay. Had no idea.
Well, he's not gay, hon. He's a filthy pervert. And furthermore, here's how you know. Lord Jesus Christ said, not the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Jeremiah the prophet. Twice said, they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not, woe unto their soul. And were they ashamed when they had committed such abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they're going to fall with them that fall.
But how would I have known? I mean, I didn't...
Dude, they absolutely are so proud of their filth. I don't know. Sometimes I guess they keep it to themselves. And you know what? That's as it should be. If you want to be a filthy, raging pervert, just do that. And keep it to yourself. Who the stink cares? That's between you and God. But no, these fags aren't happy until they're parading up and down Main Street and making everyone bow down and kiss their fag ass. And then pretending like they're somehow disenfranchised. So we got to make us some laws up in here to give them some extra special rights and protections for absolutely no reason. It's called in Scripture this amazing political influence that they have. It's called the power of the dog.
Well, let me clue you in on something. I'm in Florida right now. Have you ever been to Key West?
Yes, we were just there in May.
Were you?
We did four pickets down in Key West.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I didn't know. You got
a couple
of
them were at some Jew things.
Oh,
Jew
things.
We ran into some Jews from Israel, and they were hopping mad. And the next thing I knew, they had joined up with the counter picketers, and one of them was holding a sign that says, "Jesus loves me." About you talk about scrambling your egg. I said, "Dude, you rejected Christ. So what are you doing talking about who he loves?"
Why? Were they gay Jews? Or,
I don't know. Something about those signs made him mad.
Because there's a lot of fag gay guys down in.
There's a lot of fags in Key West, and there's a lot of fags.
Do you coordinate your trips now? Did you stop like down through West Palm Beach on your way down there?
We were all over that place like a stink on a warthog for about a week.
Because you know what West Palm is. I mean,
we were from Miami all the way to Key West.
Oh yeah.
Fort Lauderdale.
You might as well get a little sun while you're at it. But
Well, you can't stand out on the streets for literally hours without getting a lot of sun.
Well, that's a fact. And you know that one in there where you had the shorts on and all that. You were getting a little sun there. I looked at that picture and I thought, forgive me for what I was thinking, but.
I don't want to know what you were thinking.
No, you don't know. You don't want to know what I was thinking. I was a naughty boy. But anyway, hey Shirley, thanks for being on the program today. It's been an experience, and I won't tell you what I was thinking when I saw the picture. And
well,
I'll
that's
just,
good. That's
yeah,
good.
Just have to leave it alone. Have to be, you know.
All right.
And I'll confess it.
I remember I have 11 children and 4 grandchildren and a husband, and I'm 51 years old, so
hey.
Get over.
Hey, the picture still looked, you know, it looked pretty racy.
All right, dude.
11 kids, 11 kids didn't do any harm to you at all. So,
all right.
Thanks, Shirley. Bye now.
Okay, goodbye.
Somebody help me. Somebody pour me a drink, will you? Somebody just pour me a drink. I got an. Hello?
Hey, guy, it's Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
From Brooklyn. I still want to get in on that.
Well,
don't forget.
We don't have the two-line deal going right now due to the fact of, you know, the expense and all, and we just can't. Listen, can you sing or something?
No.
I'm gonna go take a shower. Have you ever heard anything quite like that? I
have, but have you? You know, her MO is very standard amongst that set of people. You know, it's like. You know, it all boils down to she's probably very embarrassed with or who she really wants to sleep with. So she lives a life of quiet desperation.
Got 11 kids, man. 11.
Sprouting out.
She's been a little bunny for all these times.
Well, you know, going forth and multiplying doesn't mean necessarily you want to necessarily be involved in that situation.
Well, she took that one serious.
You ever seen the movie The Thornbirds?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She really didn't love him, and how many kids she had out of him?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Huh? Well, I figured everybody would enjoy that. I did. you'll forgive me if I'm somewhat speechless, because I am at the moment. That's quite a crew out there. I know everybody's heard about them. Those that haven't should. But you know those Jew fags down in Jew fags and Tel Aviv and oh my. That rolls off of her tongue, those words. That just rolls off of her tongue like mine does for a glass of water. I'm amazed. Nothing politically correct there.
Oh, no. Oh, no, it's definitely not. But it was just almost comical, you know. It's like, is she from Kansas?
Yeah, Topeka, Kansas, of all places.
What? Well, let us stay out there, please.
Hey, I'm going to try an experiment here for a second. You don't go anywhere, all right?
Sure.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
It's too late. The line one. 7, 8, 5. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not gonna do that. I think that's her on the other line. Let me try it. I'll be right back. Hello? You're on the Guy James Show. No? Okay, I'm back to Kevin. Kevin, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, now that other line's ringing. I'm going to go back to it and try it again. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. No? All right, back to Kevin. All right.
Yeah
the phone keeps ringing and ringing here.
Yeah, my thing is, why are these people so obsessed with what goes on in other people's private, intimate life?
Don't you know, man? You listen to that interview and you don't know? Honestly,
why?
Kevin, you listen to that whole thing and you don't know?
Well, you explain it to me, guy. You're a smarter man than I.
Well, I don't know either, but she said a lot of stuff. I figured the answer was in there somewhere. And I'm going to...
Well,
I'm going to answer the question Lauder J's asking on the chat room right now. She, you see if you could get Fred. I tried to get Fred, but Fred couldn't be half as good a spokesman as she is. So there. Fred's pretty old too. He's like 81.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like, and then that's my whole question in the matter. Why? What is the obsession with other people's personal life? You know?
I know.
Who and how and what you want to sleep with or have sex with is your business.
Well, evidently not.
Well, I guess I got to make it public record. She would hate me, man.
Absolutely. Jeez, I tell you, she hates everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, and well, I already know that I'm a sinner because I drink whiskey every now and then.
You know where you're headed, man. Whiskey drinking?
Yeah, and I'm an Episcopalian, too.
Oh, no.
Way too liberal.
Yeah, you're done. You're cooked. You're fried, man. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but, I, you know, like you said, I believe in the Lord, so...
Yeah, but
I guess the Lord loves everyone conditionally.
That's not nearly good enough. Not nearly good enough. That we've got to send you back to school. I tell you what, they have a correspondence course, and I should get that. I should get that for you. Why is my phone ringing off the hook here? Now I'm going to try this one more time here. Miss Cone, no line available. Line one, you're on line two.
Hey.
I don't know. I'll just have to.
I tell you guys, there ain't nothing like conditional love.
Well, I get the feeling that you're like making fun of this poor woman, and as you could tell, I was deadly serious throughout the whole thing. I was very respectful, except for a couple things, and
you absolutely were.
Yes, I...
You know, and I would have asked every question in a very respect. I would have done it just like you. Well, are you sure? It seems like they're very into other people's private life.
Well, I did want to ask her one question about her own private life, but I didn't want her to hang up. and now, I don't know legally if there's anything wrong with this, and there might be a lot of people in my audience who have done this. Well, maybe not a lot, maybe one or something. But anyway, her husband, I have it on good authority that her husband was her dad's adopted son.
Ooh.
Yeah, and so she married her.
Stepbrother? Well, you know, in that neck of the woods, you know, that's just a technicality. You know?
Well, that's Topeka, man. There's a moral upright. Have you read the book, What's the Matter with Kansas? There's a very upright people out there.
Yeah.
But I want to know about these 144,000 Jews they're hunting down. And they're going to get what? Put a stamp of approval on them, and they're going to be safe when the rapture comes? I didn't know this. 144,000. I mean, so you're standing in line, man. You're standing in line, and Fred Phelps and Shirley, they're up there, okay, you're good, and they're putting some stamp on your forehead or something. And you're 145, you're standing there for 14 days, and you get up there and you're 144,001. It says, no, sorry, son, you're going to hell. I don't know. I mean, maybe somebody up in front of the line drop out, but, anyway.
Well, most of the Jews I know will probably be like, nah, not interested. I'll go to hell. If I got to hang with her, I'll go to hell.
So, you guys, you mean she's the one I got to hang out with, eh? No thanks. Shalom, brother. Yeah. I'm out of here. Oh, you're terrible. You're really terrible. I think Episcopalian, drink whiskey. Yeah, no, you're done.
Oh, yeah.
Don't even bother.
And we're tired.
Give it up. You are so finished, man, according to her.
And I'm a New Yorker. That automatically.
There's another strike right there. If you could have,
that's enough right there.
If you could have five strikes on her, you got them.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, one thing... I was kind of sympathetic. Okay, I try to find common ground.
Okay.
Okay. Even as twisted as she is, Michael Jackson. Yes, I understand what she's saying with Michael Jackson.
I have a problem with that hero worship and all that too. I do. People listen to the show.
Yeah. Not only that, but what Michael Jackson did to himself. But that wasn't the devil. That was America that did that to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
That's you know, Madison Avenue that did that to Michael Jackson.
Madison Avenue.
Which is the devil. Well, she is right.
You know, like I always say, and I've said, you've heard me say it on this show, if somebody came to me and said, here, give my kid a word of advice to live by, I'd say never, ever, ever pay attention whatsoever to Madison Avenue. Live your life.
Yeah.
Never listen to any ads or read any ads or stay away from Madison Avenue. God. Well, I expected to have her on the phone about 10 minutes. And I do believe she could have still been on now. So I that went way over what I thought it would.
But it was fun. It was absolutely fun.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I wish we had a three-way conversation right now.
Yeah, I know. That would be good. No, Lauderjay said she used to go to the Church of the Advent, and they even had donuts and coffee with the wine and cheese. Oh, man, that's sin. That's a whole bunch. There's so many things right there that are sinful that I can't. I mean, it's terrible. Terrible. Well, hey, I got to cut you loose, man. Thanks for calling.
Brother.
I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
See you later. Let's see here. What are we doing? Let's try and the phone's ringing again. Let me. No. Okay. I think we're safe here with the phone right now. I'm told that Shirley's husband works at the at Foot Locker. You mean that guy's the Al Bundy of sports shoes, and she's out running around doing his picketing? Let me see here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, is this Guy?
Yes.
Hi. This is Stephanie, your old host. Wife in North Carolina?
No. Steffi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was just listening to your show.
Well, you're an evil Lutheran, aren't you?
Well, I'm sorry. Tell me that again.
Yeah, aren't you an evil Lutheran?
No, I'm an evil Episcopalian.
Oh, Episcopalian. Okay, I had it wrong. The same thing.
Like the worst of the worst, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, Steffi, it's so good to hear from you. For those of you that don't know, Steffi is the lovely wife and just fantastic person, who's the soulmate and wife of my, co-host when I first started this show, way back. He wasn't with us, for the first several weeks, and, Michael. And,
right, correct.
One of the smartest guys I ever knew. They lived in Florida then. And Michael would drive, 50, 60 miles every Saturday to be on the show and co-host.
Yes.
And I always felt so safe, because I had this, this mighty brain sitting next to me. and you know, he's a very intelligent guy. You know that, do you not?
He very, very, and fast on his feet. One of those people who can just think so quickly.
Yes, and they live up in North Carolina, Asheville, right?
No, actually, we're in the middle of the state. We're in Greensboro now.
Okay. Were you in Asheville?
Yeah.
The rest of you just.
We just go visit Asheville all the time.
Oh, it's so great to talk to you.
We vacation up there so much. We might as well live there.
I love Asheville.
I love
it. I wanted to buy that house over there, but they wouldn't sell it to me.
The Biltmore.
Yeah. Well, I thought, I could put the studio down there at one end and,
That'd be good.
You could.
Yeah.
Well, Guy, I have to tell you, I was listening to your guest today.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I had to call. Uh-huh. I had to call. I mean, wow. I'm stunned. I'm stunned. I have to tell you. And I congratulate you for having you're so brave to even have her on your show.
Well, you know,
I was just absolutely just stunned because that's the first time I've ever heard her speak. I haven't, I don't believe I've ever seen her in an interview or, you know, normally when we see her family, they're protesting and, I see them on the news and I say, oh gosh, you know, there they are. And then, you know, don't pay that much attention to them. So I was really impressed that you had her on your show.
Did you ever hear anybody that in which hate falls off their tongue so easily?
Well, no. I have to tell you, while I was listening to her, I was thinking, gosh, you know, if I believed in her God, I would be, and I say her God because I don't believe that she worships the God that so many people in the world do. I mean, you know, Christians, Muslims, I really don't believe that people worship this God of hate. I mean, it was just incredible.
Yeah, it was
just incredible. She just hates everybody.
Yeah, well, you know. Right, me too now. I mean
it was just like wow.
I'm holy cow. I'm so tickled to hear from you. I really am. For those of you that don't know, we formed a fast friendship with Michael and Stephanie and some of you that hang out over on DU or used to or anyway. Michael was always on there, and one day I got a hold of him, and I don't know how we started it up. I called him and said, why don't you come down and be co-host? And he was for quite a long time, and then they moved away, and then I was the emperor really had no clothes after that.
I wouldn't say that. But hey, can I change the subject for like 2 seconds?
Certainly.
Okay, what do you think of Mrs. Sarah Palin resigning? I mean, what a career move.
I'm lost. If anybody can follow her reasoning or logic on anything, you're better off than I am, because I just don't get anything she does. It seems to me that if she did it to get ready for the presidency, that's crazy. I was one of those ones that thought there must be a shoe.
That's what I thought.
There must be. And I'm still
not
ruling that out.
That's exactly what I thought.
I couldn't think of another reason.
I thought there got to be a scandal.
Yeah. But.
Yeah.
Nah, she makes my head swim. I'll tell you what, I try and not think of her too much, because she's one of those things, and when I think about her, my brain just goes, oh no, man, don't go there. Don't go there. Just.
Well, I watched her resignation. I made Michael. We gave up cable TV because we were just getting, our blood pressure was just going up.
Oh yeah.
But we watched her resignation speech on the internet, and she was so panicky and so, I don't know, she couldn't talk straight. I mean, it was just really unusual, and I thought, you know, there's something else here. There's something else here, but I mean, even if there's not, Michael's position is, hey, she may have been crazy enough to just quit.
Yeah. But, you know, like I mentioned earlier in the program today, after you've seen Paris, how do you keep him down on the farm? I don't know. She's had a taste of the private jets and the crowds and all that. She seems to me to be one that's hopelessly addicted to that. We shall see. We will see.
Oh, that might be. I didn't even think about that. The shopping sprees,
yeah.
And all those clothes that the GOP bought for.
The naughty monkey shoes or whatever they call those.
Yeah, and she may have been like, oh, you know, I can have this or I can have Alaska with not that many people living there, and I won't be able to wear all these great clothes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a point. You've got a point. But yeah, I've been thinking about you recently with all the scandals in the GOP. I mean, we've got the, you know, the South Carolina governor.
Well, we've got them stacked up. I mean, you know, we could just start thumbing down through them. Yeah, it's too bad that the Michael Jackson thing came up because it kind of swept everything away for a while. But we'll start back in on them here in a day or two.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I have to tell you, I just thoroughly enjoyed your show today, and that was a great interview that you gave with that guest that you had. And I just wanted to call and say hey. And
please
you know,
do. And Steffi, please send me an email with some information on it to Guy James at theguyjamesshow.com, will you?
Oh, we definitely will.
All
we
right.
definitely will. And I sure hope that you have a good afternoon.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. Pardon a little selfishness here, but that's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life. Good old friend of our former co-host, Michael. And I know a lot of my listeners don't remember that back in. Well, we started streaming. We started the show on terrestrial, and we did it for a few weeks, and then Michael joined us. And I think we started streaming during that time. Yeah, I know we did. Here's another call. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Nice people.
Hey, Guy, this is Juanita.
Hello, Juanita.
Hey, was that Michael that was on in Florida with you?
Yes.
He was great.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It'd be nice if you could have him on your show sometime, maybe by long distance, because
I thought
he was excellent.
You know, one time when I went out to, what's that godforsaken place? When I went out to Texas,
Crawford,
Texas, Mike ran the show from North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, that's
that
right.
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely
because they
brilliant
were
guy. Brilliant.
Fiddling around with your.
Well, they cut my phone lines when I was doing it out there. The Freepers did, and I had to start doing it over the cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
did
the rest of you know
Yeah,
that?
I would really like to hear him sometime again. I thought he was great.
Oh, he
I really
was.
Did.
He was. I loved the guy. He's.
Well, Bob, what's the matter? I mean, not Bob. I'm sorry, Guy. What's the matter with you?
Well, I guess everything.
Well, and you don't know nothing about the scriptures.
I guess not. I thought I did, but I guess
yeah,
not.
Yeah, and you know, and you must not be listening to the news. You know?
I guess not either.
I don't. You know what? I don't. One thing I don't understand. She's got a foul mouth.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't think that that's of the Lord at all. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, she did take the Lord's name
once, though. I heard
her,
yeah. She said GD one time.
Yes, she did.
And
so,
that's a big no-no.
That's right. That's
Bible
right.
belt that I know about.
I mean, you can say the other words all you want to, and as long as you don't take the Lord's name in vain. And she did that time.
Right.
I should have stopped
the
cold in her tracks right there.
Well, I guess in the scripture she read is so right. I don't know.
Well, you know the thing is, Juanita, I've got some scripture sitting right in front of me, and somehow, out of the King James Version, and somehow her version of it is completely different than what I'm reading.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And we all know that there's some crazy things written in the Bible that, you know, you can't take everything. Because there's some wild, wild stuff in there. But I was reading actually some scripture to her out of the King James Version, and she's telling me that's not what that is at all.
Right,
but, you know,
right.
Who am I, a lowly radio guy, to, you know?
Well, the 144,000 comes from the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
But
Well,
different people interpret different. She's got her interpretation of it.
Well,
you know, like the Jehovah's Witnesses are big on the 144,000.
Well, do they have to have?
I know that.
Do they all have to be in Israel, or can they be spread out?
I don't know. I guess it's whoever says whatever, you know, whatever their interpretation is.
Well, see, that's why I mean, to get into the minutiae of this. If there's 144,000 of them and they're spread around the world, and all of a sudden the rapture comes, we got to fly them all over there real quick. I don't know.
I don't know if she believed in the rapture or not. You know, I'd be interested to know if she does. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses, I understand, they believe that those are the ones that are going to heaven, and the rest of the people will be on earth, in the new heaven and the new earth.
Oh.
That's my understanding. I mean, I have, you know, talked to some and read some things about it.
Well, my wife told me.
Not the next, but that's where it's in, is in Revelation.
Yeah.
But
that's
the thing
is, book.
That's a book that people have all kind of interpretations of.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Sure do.
And so, whatever. But I thought you did a great interview.
Well, thank
and,
you.
And I think she kind of liked you.
Why, yeah.
She kept calling you hun.
To know me is to love me,
At the same time, she told you where you were going to go.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
in her nice way.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's interesting.
Oh, well.
But it was an amazing interview. It really was.
Well, thank you. And it's good.
It was a great interview.
Good to hear from you, Juanita. That's important to hear from you. Thank you.
And did you ever watch Our Governor? To decide if I was right or wrong.
No, you're right.
Yep.
You're right.
I think somebody else is saying that now, too.
Yeah, you're right.
But anyway.
Hey, thanks.
One more thing I want to ask. If you just give me a second about Palin. I heard somewhere, and I don't know where I heard it, is that son, what's supposed to be her son-in-law, is suing for both of his children. Have you heard that?
For both of them.
Well, you know, some say that one baby that she said she had actually was her daughter's. So, I actually heard that on one of the programs that he was suing for both of his children.
Trig, you're kidding.
So it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention
that would be a dandy.
That would. Right. Maybe that's why she had to quit, because she'd have to admit she lied about having a baby.
Maybe that's it.
I don't know.
Well, I have no knowledge of it, but time will tell.
Time will tell. Okay, well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Juanita. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ah, yes. I don't know how to feel right now. I really don't. All gone to hell, every last one of us. I don't know. It's all coming crashing down on me right now. So I'm just going to play a song right now and take a break from it. This kind of fits in, I think.
Let us pause in life's pleasures and count its many tears, while we all suffer sorrow with the poor. There's a song that will linger forever in our ears. Oh, hard times come again no more. 'Tis a song the sight of the weary. Hard times come again no more.
That I melted, I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my bestest, and nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some, but I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot. Tongue in the mirror and bending over. over backwards just to try to see it clearer, but my breath fogged up the glass, and so I drew a new face and I laughed. I guess what I'll be saying is there ain't no better reason to rid yourself of vanities and just go with the seasons. It's what we aim to do. Our name is our virtue, but I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours. Open up your mind and see like me. Open up your plans and damn, you're free. I look into your heart and you'll find that the sky is yours. So please don't, please don't, please don't. There's no need here to complicate, 'cause our time is short. This, oh, this, oh, this is our fate. I'm yours.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where the time went today. Interesting. Interesting. I had several things I was going to talk about today and didn't get to any of them. I guess we can continue this conversation tomorrow. Everything's just going to have to wait. It was mostly Shirley today. Shirley, Shirley, Shirley. Well, anyway, it was interesting. Turns out I didn't need to talk about a whole lot more. She was on for, what, over an hour? I'm pretty sure that's the longest interview we've ever done on the show. And also, I must tell you, it's very definitely the most fun for me. Benny saying I held out on my, I only played, well, I'll play a longer version of God Hates the World. I've got that here someplace. Yeah. I could close out the program with that today. In fact, I think I will. Hey, thanks for joining us today. You've been listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Don't forget, we are a listener-supported show. Head on over to the blog, theguyjamesshow.com/blog, and the website, theguyjamesshow.com. We could use your help right now. And I'm going to leave it to the Westboro Choir to close out the show today. Live and learn, folks.
You can't go on pretending day by day that the God of judgment is dead and gone. You are all a part of the devil's family, and the truth, you're all headed straight to hell. God hates the world and all her people. You, everyone, face a fiery day for your proud city. It's too late to change his mind. You lived out your vain life, storing up God's wrath for all eternity.
Well, you knew God's law, but you disobeyed it all. Spent your life chasing your lust and lies,
serving all your idols, beasts and bloody flags. Fires of hell are waiting there for you. God hates the world.
No, he hates you.
And all her people.
Evil people.
You, everyone, face a fiery day for your proud sinning.
So just stop it.
It's too late to change his mind.